Union membership is at a historic low in the United States. In 1979, more than 1 in 4 workers was part of a union. Today, only 1 in 10. Yet public support for unions is rising.
There's this like interesting setup where union membership is really low, public support is really high, and there's been a lot of worker organizing over the years, and especially right now, like during the pandemic.
Philadelphia is still a union town. But what that looks like and who's organizing has been changing, even before the pandemic. I'm Malcolm Burnley, in for Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Juliana Reyes, who covers labor and unions for The Inquirer, joins us to talk shop. She started off by speaking about one group of workers downtown that organized in response to COVID-19.
The Warwick Hotel is in Rittenhouse Square. They instituted a bunch of new procedures. So cleaning lots of different like fixtures in a bedroom, in a hotel room that workers wouldn't normally clean. The workers basically realized that with all these new procedures that they couldn't clean as many rooms as they normally could. So they talked amongst each other and basically, you know, they decided to withhold their labor. They said, we will clean as many rooms as we can to the standard. And if there are more rooms left at the end of the day, they would just say, we can't do them. And they would go home.
You spoke to one of those housekeepers. Tell me about Corrine Holloway.
Yeah, so Corrine has been working at the Warwick for 34 years. She works in the laundry department, and she's 69 years old, and she's a leader at her union.
But my father, he was a fighter. And so he taught us that we have to make people respect us no matter what.
She told me that she often is involved in grievances and procedures and like defending her coworkers' rights on the job.
I said, listen, it's not like it used to be. The ladies cannot do a room in 30 minutes.
So what I'm hearing was the workers had a quota for how many rooms they were supposed to clean. And then when COVID came, they were expected to clean them more rigorously. And they just felt like it wasn't possible to do the same amount of rooms in the same amount of time. What happened next?
They kept cleaning instead of about like a dozen rooms, like 13 or 14 rooms, they would clean fewer than that and do them all right. And after a few months, the management lowered their quota. So a representative from the Warwick Hotel told me that we have always emphasized that if any staff cannot completely clean their assigned rooms, they should contact their manager and we will work with them.
So this really sounds like a textbook organizing victory in many ways. The hotel workers union stepped in, they responded to workplace conditions, and they eventually got concessions from management. Has that been the norm across Philly during COVID-19?
It's been a mix. So yes, there's been a lot of worker organizing around COVID working conditions. But it's not only been unions that have been fighting for these better working conditions. There's been a lot of non-union worker organizing. So we're seeing like restaurant workers, baristas, different kinds of workers who are not in a union are organizing, demanding better conditions on the job.
That's really interesting. And in terms of the non-union organizing efforts, I mean, are you seeing these online? Are you seeing them protesting in person? Tell me a little bit about what that actually looks like.
Sure. Yeah, it's both. I mean, there's a lot of social media organizing. So we'll see restaurant workers putting up Instagram accounts and posting their demands on there and posting like relief funds where they're saying, here's where you can donate money and support us while we're on strike. We're seeing workers ask for hazard pay and personal protective equipment and for rights when it comes to like being called back to work. And then you'll also see that like in tandem with physical pickets.
Philadelphia is often called a labor town. It's something that you wrote about. What does that term exactly mean?
So there's a lot of powerful labor unions in Philadelphia. And historically, that has largely been the building trades. So the unions that represent like construction workers, electricians, sprinkler fitters, sheet metal workers. And these unions hold a lot of sway in local government. A lot of people will say that these laws that the building trades fight for are unfair, that they give a monopoly to union workers. And this is also problematic because historically, these unions have skewed white and male. And so a lot of people of color feel like they have been turned away from these unions and haven't gotten a shot at this kind of work, which is problematic because this is like good paying work. You know, like some of these union workers are getting paid like $60 an hour.
Right. And you recently wrote about this in a story about sprinkler fitters, which, first of all, I had no idea that there was a sprinkler fitters union. That was breaking news to me.
So there are these, there's a law in the city that all the property owners need to get their sprinklers inspected, their sprinkler systems inspected every year. And the new law that was just passed by city council requires a certain certification for the workers that do these inspections. And the only place where you can get that certification right now is this sprinkler fitters union hall. So basically, these non-union contractors were saying that it wasn't fair and that it was just funneling work to one union.
We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Malcolm Burnley. I'm talking to Philly Inquirer labor reporter Juliana Reyes. We know about this long track record of labor unions in Philly, and then we've been hearing about some of the more recent efforts during the pandemic. Is labor organizing changing because of the pandemic?
So it definitely has become more urgent during the pandemic, and there's been more widespread awareness of, you know, the working conditions of workers around the country. But there was already like a shift happening before the pandemic where different kinds of workers were forming unions in their workplace. College educated workers and workers who are working at these like mission driven organizations, so like nonprofits and other seemingly like progressive institutions.
Is that what happened at the Philadelphia Museum of Art?
Yeah, exactly. So at the Philadelphia Museum of Art, things started there incredibly with a Google spreadsheet. So last year, there was this spreadsheet that was started by a group of anonymous museum workers. One of them was a Philadelphia Museum of Art curator. And basically, this spreadsheet popped up and it said, like, input your salary, your job title, where you work.
I think I did have a pretty immediate emotional reaction where it's just sort of like, wow, yes, this everything I thought was true is true and worse than I thought.
I interviewed a bunch of workers, and one of them was Nicole Cook, who's a program manager at the PMA.
Yeah, it just kicked off a lot of conversations about kind of the nitty-gritty of compensation and looking at where the differences were and frankly where the inequities seem to be.
The spreadsheet politicized them, and it politicized them at a time when museum workers across the country were getting politicized and like voting to form unions. They voted to form a union in August, and they are now members of AFSCME District Council of 47.
Unionizing is really coming from a place of wanting to keep doing the good work that the museum is doing now and make it a more sustainable place for the staff who are doing that work. It's really coming from a place of wanting the museum to be as good as it is now and better.
What is driving this heightened awareness around organized labor across the city?
So we're seeing a lot of this like new union energy being driven by millennials. And you're seeing a lot of that because, you know, for millennials, this is the second recession that they're living through. And so they're like, you know, we spent all this money to go to college and get like a master's degree, and we're still just scraping by, and we don't have job security. And you also see a lot of this with like the rise of Bernie Sanders and like democratic socialism.
With that, it sounds like there's been substantial progress during the pandemic for organized labor in Philly. Does that mean that we're in a golden age for workers' rights?
That's a tricky question. And I think it's important to be realistic about where we're at right now, which is that we are still at 10% union membership. And though we're seeing new union efforts, the size of these new unions that are being formed, it isn't like necessarily thousands of workers. It's like a few hundred workers. So it's not always moving the needle that much. Still, this is an undeniable moment. I mean, there's all these new unions in Philly. Different kinds of workers are organizing. We're seeing public defenders organizing. We're seeing parking lot attendants organizing. We're even seeing media professionals organizing.
I'm glad you brought that up. WHYY's staff unionized last October, as have several other public media stations around the country. At the Inquirer, where you work, there's also a union. But unions can also be obstructionist or pose obstacles to diversifying certain professions, journalism included. We've talked about the building trades, and they have a legacy of racial and gender-based exclusion in Philadelphia. Do you know if we're making any progress on the diversity front within unions?
Yeah, so historically, unions would bargain over things like wages and benefits. But in this new wave of unions and union energy, what we're also seeing is that unions are bargaining over things like hiring and racial justice. So unions are increasingly fighting for language in a contract that holds their employer to diverse hiring, for example. So I spoke to a labor educator at Penn State University, Valerie Brayman, to try to better understand what's been going on.
You know, traditionally in our labor laws, nationally or even locally, you know, there are certain groups who've been historically left out of some of the protections. And it's generally lower wage workers, it's generally women, particularly women of color or people of color as well in these groups. So we're also starting to see an awareness of how these issues intersect. And we're seeing more organizing activity and more support for that organizing activity.
This current wave of new worker organizing and like new unions has been driven by millennials largely. And a lot of them see labor and see like workers' rights as part of the larger struggle for social justice.
We've talked about how the pandemic has brought this new wave of energy to organized labor. As the economic recession deepens and more people are expected to lose their jobs, what do you think the future holds for unions in the city?
I think we're going to see a lot more organizing around workers that aren't traditionally in unions, that workers that don't really have easy access to unions. So I'm talking about like retail and fast food workers in big chains. And like those workers, it's really hard for them to join a union because of the way that their companies are set up. There's been action around giving domestic workers like nannies and house cleaners labor rights, and they're not allowed to collectively bargain because they've been carved out of like federal labor law. And I think we're going to see a lot more organizing around those kinds of workers. And I think we're also going to see organized labor is going to become more diverse because like that's actually like if you look at the demographics of Philadelphia, if you look at the demographics of like our country, there's more immigrants, there's going to be more people of color. Like that's the future of the labor movement. That's what labor organizers have told me.
Juliana, thanks so much for the conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Juliana Reyes is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Y is produced by me, Malcolm Burnley, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd-Circa, and Buffy Gorilla. We get editorial direction from Katie Colinari. You can find me on Twitter at Malcolm Burnley. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday.